You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to The Game Plan on the Raiders Podcasting Network. I'm your host, JT, as we get you set for the Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos, December 29th, 2019. That's a 1:25 p.m. Pacific time start at Empowered Field at Mile High. Before we begin, I'd like to wish you a happy holiday, a happy new year. I really appreciate everyone who downloads this podcast, has been there and supported this team podcast for several years. This is the last podcast of the regular season, and it's my honor to host it. For everyone behind the scenes at Silver and Black Productions, I appreciate them, Bobby Machado, who puts it together out of Vegas, and everyone else behind the scenes at the Raiders organization, from Will Kiss and his entire staff that helps provide these great guests every week as we try to get you ready for the upcoming opponent. And I'd sure like to see one more podcast or maybe two, an opportunity for the Raiders to make the playoffs as we get to the last regular season game of the year. By now, I think you know that the Raiders are still mathematically alive. In order for them to make the playoffs, they would have to beat Denver on Sunday. And in the late window there, we're going to know a lot. They need the Colts to beat the Jaguars, the Texans, which sounds good on paper, to beat the Titans, and the Ravens, who are resting their starters, to beat Pittsburgh. Last week, everything fell right as the Raiders won in Carson to close out that stadium with the Chargers play out. They need another football miracle before they kick off. Can you imagine if the Raiders are alive when they kick it off? At Mile High, it would be tremendous and a great way to wrap up the season with an opportunity to make the postseason. Let's go back to Carson, California, where I've been going to this series in San Diego, and I thought it all when it came to fans. Let me begin by telling you, I have never seen anything like this. In my career with the Raiders, and even beforehand, if you're an old-timer listening, you've been following this team for 30, 40 years. There's never been a larger percentage crowd on the road in Raider history than last Sunday in Carson. I thought it'd be 70%, 78. It was 90%. I'm not making it up. Anybody there will tell you. As I walked the parking lot, I could not believe the loyalty of this fan base, as it was the last Oakland Raider game ever to be played in Southern California. And the fans showed up, and so did Hunter Renfrow, coming back from injury for this exciting play.
And now Derek Carr is changing up. The gun fires, complete, first down, 40, 35, headed for the end zone. Hunter Renfrow, welcome back, buddy. Touchdown, Raiders. Oh, my, what a difference number 13 makes for the Raiders.
Brett Musburger on the call. Coming back from an injury, being banged up, and to play and take back punts, and to get hit the way he does, he is tough as nails. He is a tremendous addition to this franchise going forward. And I can't say enough about DeAndre Washington, the running backs, as Josh Jacobs wasn't able to go, and Derek Carr had an explosive touchdown run.
14 seconds. Tighten up to the left. Play action, rolls hard to the right. Carr running to the pylon. Carr steps inside the pylon. Got a touchdown, Raiders. He did not reach for the pylon. That away, Derek.
That was a big moment. I was there on the sidelines when Derek threw the ball up there, walked right by. He was emotional. He wanted that touchdown. Good to see Derek running and using his legs more. Something we've talked about this entire year on the Game Plan podcast. And the Raiders were able to win a gritty, gutty game for all the players that were hurt. For the Raiders to stay alive on the season, tremendous win.
Hand off to Washington. Cuts the daylight. Big gain. Broke free. That's first it. Down. Game over. Raiders stay alive as they beat the Chargers. Four other things happen. And the Raiders can still make it to the AFC playoffs.
How about Brent, the Godfather, talking about what needs to happen? He knew. We were talking about it on the road at the team hotel. Brent knew that it had to happen in order for it to be viable this week at Denver. Let's keep this going. After the game, Coach Gruden was really excited. I was at that press conference there. He was emotional talking about the players who stepped up.
But I'm really proud of Hunter Renfrow and DeAndre Washington. If you really studied the film carefully or watched the game carefully, Darrell Worley, I think, played four positions.
No doubt. Everybody stepped up and had a play. This team has been decimated by injuries, and that was a tremendous effort overall. Gruden talked about Carr's touchdown run.
Shoot, I think that was something that we are really looking for and excited about. You know, he is a much better athlete than people know about, and we have been trying to encourage him to do more of that. But it was a bootleg designed for Waller, the fullback in the flat. San Diego did it, or L.A. did a nice job covering it. And, you know, that's what you need to do. You need to be a threat to run, and that's what he did today, and it was a big, big play for us.
No doubt it was, and that's what it's about. Big plays at certain times to keep this season alive. Very important. And Coach Gruden talked about what happened in the last Raider home game in Oakland. I'm still upset about it. We're not shying away from the blown call when Derek slid inbounds and the clock kept ticking.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. You know, I wish, you know, it makes me really upset about the call at the end of last week. You know, it really does. I'm not going to let that go. You know, the tuck rule and that call last week, I'm not saying cost us that game, but it would hurt us really bad.
Love the fact that Coach would bring that up. Why not? Clearly wanted to make the point for the Raiders in the situation that they're in now. So this week has been about preparation, a short week. Hope you had a tremendous Hanukkah, Christmas holiday with your family and friends throughout the Raider Nation. Coach Gruden earlier in the week talked about the fact that this team, they're not going to rest anybody for the last game of the year. Anybody who can play is going to go.
We're going to play the best players that we have available and try to win the game. And we don't have enough bodies to rest players. So we're going to try to win the game in spite of the circumstances.
Later on in the week, as we produce this podcast, as more and more injuries were mounting, trying to get players on the practice field, Coach Gruden addressed the media.
We had a number of players not practice. Josh Jacobs did not practice. Tyrell Williams didn't practice. Gabe Jackson, Richie Incognito, Marcus Joyner, Trayvon Mullen. Hopefully, we'll see him out here a little bit tomorrow. But we got a lot of guys in question for the game. And we got a lot of guys that are ready to play and will play.
Yeah, a lot of guys got to step up and play. They're playing for jobs, their future in the silver and black. You know the story by now. You got to play out the schedule, and if you can go, you got to be able to give your team the best opportunity to win. And this is a Denver team that has won their last 3 out of 4 games, and Gruden knows they're improving.
Well, they played good defense all year. They played good defense. I think what they've done is they found a tight end that can be dominant. Fant has really come on. Cortland Sutton has emerged as a heck of a player.
As we take a look at the stats heading into the game, stats all year long is an important part of this podcast. I try to give you everything you need to know. The Raiders are 14th in total offense at 356 yards a game. Denver is ranked 28th as they break in a new quarterback at only 302 yards a game. The rush offense, the Raiders at 13th at 119 as Jacobs is a game-time decision. The skin infection surgery, the shoulder, keep it to Raiders.com for more information on that. Lindsley and the Broncos offense rushes it 106 yards a game. That's ranked 18th. But Denver makes their name on defense. The 10th ranked defense, giving up 327 yards a game. They have the 6th pass defense at 215 yards a game. So they're very good, and especially with their red zone defense, ranked number 1 in efficiency in the entire league. So you're going to score on Denver in the red zone. Good luck. Their secondary and their pass defense does a great job. We begin the game plan podcast with a player who had a remarkable season. Darren Waller goes into this game with 1,038 yards, receiving yards, and he's been the Raiders' number one target all year long and their top receiver out of the backfield at the tight end position, and he's kind enough to join us. Darren, I really appreciate this. Thanks for coming on the game plan. How was your Christmas?
Hey, JT, I'm doing pretty well. My Christmas was pretty good. Wish I could be with my family, but it's all good.
Yeah,
how was your Christmas?
Yeah, really good. Thanks so much for asking. It's kind of unique when you're a football player in preparation for another game and you got to get ready and the holidays are around you. And I know you do a lot in the community. How do you balance all that?
I just try to keep it as simple as a day at a time. I mean, when you look at the whole holiday season as a whole, it can kind of trip you out, I guess. But I don't know. Just once I just stay within the day and, you know, realize that, you know, it's not about me and how I feel, but it's about, you know, the season's about giving. It's about giving your time and your love to family and the people that surround you. So I just try to, you know, keep that on my mind as much as possible.
Darren Waller joins us. Darren, this organization really cares about that. Before you came here, Al Davis, and then passed that down to Mrs. Davis, obviously, and Mark Davis. Your involvement in the community, has it changed? Has it grown since you become an Oakland Raider?
I was doing little to no community service before. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. The life I was living was just, I was just making things all about me. So I wasn't really trying to serve other people. I was just trying to, you know, get what I could out of life. But now it's like, since I've been here, since I've kind of grown, I've made it a priority. And it's actually like one of the funner parts of my week. Like, it's sometimes it's like, maybe tired, and it's like, oh, it's my off day. I want to lay around in my room. But then it's like, once you go to that event, it kind of like lifts you up and recharges you and kind of sets the tone for your week that's about to start.
Yeah, I'm happy you're sharing with that. So in the past, and, you know, when you were doing and living the life that you were living, now to live this lifestyle and to have a bigger focus in life, it's great that you hooked up with an organization that you're comfortable with that really stresses that and wants you to be a better person.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, life's a lot more rewarding now, and it's just like, it's good to have people that, you know, care about you as a person more than they do as a player and want to see you at your best and getting the most out of life. And, you know, that really just comes from serving other people. It's like you can gain a whole lot of things for yourself, but you're really, truly your happiest and feeling the most gratitude, most satisfied when you're helping other people out.
You know, the Raiders had a lot of legends, as you know, Darren, over the years who were mentors to younger players. And this year we lost Cliff Branch and Willie Brown and people you were just getting to know who are around a lot, who are mentoring the organization over the years before you came. Are there a couple of alumni or certain people in the building that really took you under their wing and helped you on this journey so far?
Yeah, definitely. I would say George Atkinson. He's always at practice. He's always, you know, a positive voice. Always remind us to make sure we have fun playing football, because it can be a really pressured and pressure-filled environment, and you're worried about your job or, you know, the competition. But it's like at the end of the day, you got into it because it's fun. And then Freddie Blinnikoff, he was, you know, coaching me up. He was, I remember earlier in the season, he saw some things in my game that, you know, he kind of got on me about, but in a positive, constructive way. And, you know, kind of responding to that, just hearing it from him, it kind of motivated me to pick up, like, some of the smaller details of my game. I've actually talked to Raymond Chester a few times. I ran into him at one of the community events, and he was giving me some tips. And, you know, just as far as, like, you know, playing tight end and doing what you do is, like, more of a mindset than it is, like, you know, your skills and everything. So I've learned a lot from a bunch of legends so far.
Wow, this is really special to me. I'm happy we connected, because Freddie Biletnikoff's out here in Vegas with me now, and I'm seeing him over the holidays. And George Atkinson was my mentor when I came into the organization over 20 years ago, and he took me under his wing. And it's just so incredible what this organization does. Darren Waller's our guest. I wanted to ask you about the milestone of going over 1,000 yards. I've heard some of your comments. You're not a me-me guy. You want to help the team win, but that's got to mean a lot, because for a receiver, a tight end, going over 1,000 means a lot to the history of the league. What does it mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, it's still kind of hard to wrap my mind around a little bit, because, like, I think my college career, I barely maybe had, like, 900 yards, like, my whole college career. And it's, like, thus far in the league, like as far as any level of my playing career, the production hasn't really been there like that. So to have 1,000 yards is pretty crazy. It's new territory, but I love the challenge of it. I love what it requires from you every week and how much you got to give to your team to be able to put something up like that. So I don't take it lightly, and I know it's you know, rare company in this franchise, and I take pride in representing the Raiders in the right way.
I saw you at one practice before we got on a flight, line up wide on the outside, on the extreme outside, and I said, man, this is something. When you line up wide or have the ability to do that in the future and put the fear of God into some of these corners and safeties, because I talked to Coach Gruden about it a couple of weeks ago with the three tight ends that you have. Do you expect your role to expand more, to see you more in motion in the slot and on the outside where you can really expose other corners with your size and strength?
Yeah, I feel like I've already lined up in a whole lot of places, but like you said, I feel like it could grow even more, and just taking on new roles. And, you know, within the tight end room, you know, so much we can do as a whole. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, just continuing to be challenged and continue to find ways where I can grow and get better. And I feel like that will only help me elevate.
wrapping it up with Darren Waller. Also, I'm one of those guys, because I deal with the fans on radio, who want you to get more red zone touches and more touchdowns. Is that a product of being double teamed? Do they got to do a better job in opening you up in the passing game and the chemistry with Derek? Because you got the ability to have double digit touchdowns, but I know these schemes, these defensive coordinators are scheming you out of the red zone.
Yeah, part of it has to do with scheme, and then part of it is you know, there's other guys on our team that are really capable as well. So it's Coach Gruden does a good job of spreading it around. So it's like when if they are focusing in on me, there's guys like me, you see how many touchdowns like Foster had, and then there's guys getting like and then Tyrell getting open in the red zone, getting a lot of plays. So it's just like I guess I kind of look at it as more like a team thing. It's like if you get down there and there's 6 points being put on the board, I don't really care who does it, but I feel like as guys continue to get better and continue to grow, I feel like the guys on our team that they're discounting, and while they're focusing on me, I feel like they're going to have to pay attention to them more, and then it may open up more things for me down the road.
Nicely said. Bizarre week preparing for the Broncos, this rivalry, knowing that you're still alive, but you're going to need some help before you kick off in Denver?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty a lot going on, to say the least, but I feel like for us, it's better for us to just focus on what we do, because, I mean, say all whatever scenarios go our way, but we don't get our job done. I mean, it doesn't matter. We got to handle our business first. So that's what we're kind of focusing on. And then after that, whatever happens after that is whatever happens. So we're not too worried about that right now.
Darren, I want to wrap it up with your sobriety and how you're helping others over the holidays. As you know, people go through a very difficult time going from the holidays into New Year's Eve. What message can you send to others that are really struggling at this point in time, need help, but they don't know how to ask for it?
I would say just be true to yourself. Listen to yourself. Sit down. I mean, I feel like a lot of us, we go to that kind of stuff to, you know, escape things. I would tell them that, me looking back, I wish I didn't try to escape those things. I wish I would have felt those things and allowed those things to rise up, and I could see them and be aware of them, because the feeling that you feel right now will only make feeling better down the road when you create that happiness in your life. It'll only make it feel better because you felt what that pain feels like. So I would say right now, just to be grateful to be alive, be grateful to be yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You just need a little fine-tuning, and that'll come as long as you are willing to open yourself up to people and are willing to start with the people that you love.
Thank you, Darren. You got a great career in front of you, great season. Proud to know you, and the Raider Nation is thrilled that you're a part of this organization. Enjoy the game at Denver, and good luck. We'll talk to you in the offseason.
All right, JT, thank you for having me.
Thank you. There he is, Darren Waller. Appreciate having him on. Fantastic. As you can tell, he was coming out of practice. They were able to get him. Really cool that they got him. And to say that, I had chills when he said George Atkinson and Fred Biletnikoff. Those are his two mentors. Here's someone who no one knew about. He was using, he was failing his drug test. Baltimore clearly did not have a spot for him anymore, obviously so. He could not live up to his potential because of the problems that he had off the field with drugs. He cleaned himself up. He came to the Raiders. He had the ultimate support staff, people around him that would help him. He takes it one day at a time. And when I have the honor and pleasure to travel with this team on the road, I just saw him in Los Angeles. He comes over to you on the sideline, gives you a big handshake. He's excited. He's smiling. He talks to the fans on the way in and out of the tunnel. You can just tell that a 27-year-old Darren Waller is getting another opportunity in his life, because he's been able to, at least for the short term, conquer his addictions and his problems. And now with the support staff around him, we hope that he can continue to do this. Incredible season that he had. And if we look back on Antonio Brown, who we talked about that all year on this podcast. All year on this podcast, we talked about what happened to the number one weapon. Well, Antonio Brown would have been double teamed. And now they're double-teaming Waller because Antonio Brown and some of the injuries to the other guys. I'm happy he addressed the fact that in the red zone, you know, he's just giving his teammates props, because I think he should have more than 3 touchdowns this year. He's got 1,000 yards, 84 receptions, but he is being schemed out of the red zone. And I think the Raiders next year will do a better job of opening that up for him with new receivers coming in via free agency or the draft. Our next guest is the longtime voice of the Denver Broncos, former player and outstanding radio personality. Dave Logan is kind enough to join us. Dave, thanks for coming on The Game Plan. And it does sound a little bit bizarre, the last Oakland Raiders game in Denver.
It does, you know, especially for me, because I grew up in Denver. So there wasn't a bigger rivalry back in the days, back in the old AFL days, than the Broncos and the Raiders. And to think that this will be it for the Raiders, at least in Oakland, is a bit strange, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year for both franchises. We'll get to the game plan coming up here, but just to get your head wrapped around it, all the games that you called, especially in Oakland, but knowing that the Raiders are coming in, it's always Raider week on your sports talk show. Everybody in the city always gets up for the Raiders.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think the, to be honest about it, the rivalry has dissipated a bit the last few years. I mean, certainly from the Broncos standpoint, I mean, their last winning season, this will be three consecutive losing seasons and four consecutive seasons without a playoff berth. You have to go back for three consecutive losing seasons. You got to go back to 1972. So, and the Raiders have had the one really good year where Derek Carr got injured, but other than that, they've struggled even to be .500, at least in recent memory. So for some of the young people out there that have just sort of started to follow football maybe in their 20s or 30s, even early 30s, they probably don't even realize that this was one of the great rivalries in pro football history, at least from the two cities' perspective.
No doubt about it. The competitive edge, the players knowing the rivalry, owners, everybody involved in the media understood this rivalry, as you said so nicely, dating back to the AFL. Broncos have won three out of the last four. Big picture, what's going right for Denver?
Well, they stabilized the quarterback position a bit. I mean, Drew Lock's come on, and I think he's done a really good job. I think that my feeling is that the team was a bit reluctant to sort of embrace him in a full-fledged way early. They have been very patient with him. They've been very careful in terms of their public statements after games. But I think, you know, just calling every game and watching him play, I think this kid has a lot. And I think there's more than just a pretty good chance that he's going to be the quarterback, at least of the immediate future. I think he gives this team a chance to go into the offseason and address other issues, and they certainly have other issues to address, but I do not foresee them in the early part of the draft expending a draft choice on a quarterback based on how Drew Lock has played.
What do you think about Derek Carr from your perspective and what they're saying nationally and locally in Denver, who's putting up big numbers again, especially when it comes to completion percentage, but playing in the second year under John Gruden?
Yeah, it's tough for me to you know, I could make a comment, but it wouldn't be in my case viable. I haven't seen enough of the Raiders. I've seen them when they've been on national TV. I know that there's frustration with Derek and in terms of checking the ball down and not taking more chances. His completion percentage is great, always has been. I think he's a really smart quarterback. And you know what? If this is it for him in Oakland / Las Vegas, you and I both know that he will not be out of work long, because the league is desperate for quarterbacks. I mean, Derek Carr can play quarterback in this league. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, whether or not he continues with John Gruden and the Raiders, I guess you would know better than I.
Dave Logan joins us. He's the voice of the Denver Broncos. Philip Lindsay, who the Raiders are going to have their hands full, he's on the verge of 1,000 yards again. He's at 958 on the year with 7 touchdowns. He's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore, because everybody respects his ability to find the hole and then shoot through it. How's he look coming into this game?
Yeah, you know what, JT? I think he's had a good year. I think this has been a year that, as you said, other teams are a bit more aware of him. You know, last year he had such a terrific year as an undrafted college free agent. I mean, he not only surpasses 1,000 yards, he goes to the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a storybook kind of year in his first season. But I feel like he's got a more than a pretty good shot to eclipse the 1,000-yard mark again this season. He hasn't had as many of the breakaway runs that we came to know from last year. I think there have been reasons for that, certainly. And I think, honestly, until Drew Lock sort of became the quarterback, every single weekend that the Broncos played, I mean, the primary focus from the defense's perspective was to make sure you get a hold of the number 30. So I think Philip Lindsay and the running game in general will benefit greatly when Drew Lock starts to figure out exactly what he's doing and when he becomes more acclimated to this offense. And that's going to be obviously the first part of next year.
Dave, tell us about Cortland Sutton, 6 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, 68 receptions. Denver's had great wide receivers from the beginning of the franchise. Yep. And for a second-round pick in 2018, they seem to have hit a home run with him.
Yeah, you know what? I really like him as a former wide receiver. Even though I call the play-by-play, I enjoy going back and looking at the film and watching him. He's much better this year in terms of understanding the call and understanding how to set up defenders and realizing the leverage point of a defensive back, realizing if it's man and as opposed to zone, when do I sit down, when do I show my numbers to the quarterback. And he's made some big plays. He's made some contested catches. He utilizes his body. He's a terrific athlete. I think this is, this is a Pro Bowl receiver. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think from the Broncos' perspective, I think they have to now address the other side. I mean, it's you've got a guy, a young emerging star in this league in Cortland Sutton. But what you don't have, in my estimation, is the other guy, the Robin to Batman. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, Tim Patrick's had a nice year. He was hurt early. In fact, the first game against the Raiders has bounced back. Deshaun Hamilton's had a disappointing season, former fourth-round pick. But he had a good game last week at 6 catches for 65 yards. But they have to have another guy. There's too much focus from a defensive perspective on Cortland Sutton. And unless the team addresses that for next year, I don't think that will stop.
Wrapping up with Dave Logan, the voice of the Broncos. You know, I love watching Von Miller play. The Raiders were able to handle him in that first game with that big offensive line. Gruden knows Von Miller is coming again. Can you talk about this year, his pride, his ability to play big in this last game, and the concerns the Raiders should have with him?
Yeah, I think, when you look at the kind of year he's had, I think, and he has said this publicly, he's not satisfied with the kind of year that he's had. His numbers are down. He has battled through, to his credit, he's battled through a knee injury that has plagued him the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. He only missed one game. He's a guy that, again, can wreck a game plan from the outside. And he has said he wants to be here. He wants to get this thing turned around. You know, you think of Von Miller, he was one of the key players on that 2015 Super Bowl championship team. Well, he hadn't been to the playoffs since the 2015 regular season, right? So he understands that time is running out for him. He's in his ninth season. But I would think he'll be back next year. I would think that he's going to finish this season on a positive note. He's a guy that will give you effort. He's still a guy, JT, that has elite pass rushing skill from the edge. He might not be the same kind of pass rusher he was 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still one of the top in the game, no question about that.
Dave, I got to think Denver fans got to be thrilled with next year to come to Vegas to see the Raiders in Vegas. You've been seeing from a distance this stadium. It's incredible what they're going to do, and the most expensive stadium in the world is in Los Angeles, where the Rams and the Chargers are going to split that. So two of your road games next year in the division are going to be in brand new state-of-the-art stadiums. That's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. I was just in Las Vegas last week and had a chance to see it from afar. I actually drove by it, and it looks like it's going to be spectacular. Yeah, I'm anxious. I mean, I just hope that the rivalry is resumed, right? I mean, anytime you change cities, it takes a while for it to sort of have the same feel. I was, even as a player, certainly as a broadcaster, I was always a fan of Oakland. I was a fan of those fans because you could just feel how passionate they were about their team, right? I mean, they're a tad bit crazy at times, but they loved that team. And so I was saddened when it became official that they would be moving. So I'm interested to see sort of how the city of Las Vegas adopts them and whether or not it'll still be kind of the old Oakland fans feel during a home game.
Dave, last one. With Mr. Bolin finally getting his a gold jacket for the family, at least, ownership and the kids and the family and the state of the franchise with John Elway, Vic Fangio, the head coach. Where is the franchise going in the offseason? This is a proud franchise with a lot of success, and the fans are going to want a winner again.
Well, there's no question about that. I think from the fans' perspective, what's happened the last four or five games with the emergence of Drew Locke has given them some hope. I think the fans really like Vic Fangio. My feeling is this season feels different, even though should the Raiders beat the Broncos on Sunday, the record will be identical to what it was last year. But it just feels different to me. They've had four games that came right down to the last minute of play, and they lost all four of them. And now they sit where they sit. I mean, that's just the nature of the NFL. With respect to the ownership, I think that thing is fluid. I mean, they're certainly... are parts of the Bolin family that are not in a good place in terms of their belief of what's going on now with the trustees. All that's going to be heard in a court of law come September, I believe. And I think from the fans' perspective here in Denver, what they want is to get the ownership thing sort of solidified and just to make certain under no circumstances do the Broncos go anywhere else. I've got no reason to believe that that would happen, but we both have been around a while and seen some crazy things in the NFL.
Thank you so much, Dave. Happy holidays again. You know how much I appreciate your work, and look forward to seeing you soon. Appreciate it.
Same to you, JT. Great to catch up.
Always appreciate Dave Logan. Always has a great microphone. Always ready to go, and I get a chance to go on his radio show in Denver. He is an A-list radio host and a great play-by-play voice. Let's wrap it up with former NFL player. He played for the Raiders, NFL scout, and one of the premier NFL analysts out there. You see him on FS1 and NFL Network. Bucky Brooks is kind enough to join us. And Bucky, finally, the last Raider trip as the Oakland Raiders to Denver. What does this rivalry mean to you?
You know, it's a big rivalry. Obviously, anytime you're dealing with an AFC West team, it's big, because when you're with the Raiders, you kind of view all of those guys as hated rivals. But the Denver Broncos is special. It's special because it goes all the way back, and it goes back to when they were great, when we have been great. And it's one of those things where you want to finish the season off the right way. So I'm excited to see how the Silver and Black finishes off the year. They have a chance to still get into the playoffs. And once you get into the playoffs, you never know what could happen. So, this is a big game. It's a big game for everybody. And with it being the last regular season game where the Raiders will represent Oakland, I think everybody wants to see them finish it off the right way.
Yeah, very interesting to me, because you broke down this Raiders rookie class, and they got a lot out of it with Mad Max Crosby, Josh Jacobs, who's banged up with his shoulder, what they're trying to do with Cleveland Farrell, and the rest of these young players. Do you like the job that Mayock and Gruden did to build for the future?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the one thing that was a common denominator between their rookie class, every prospect in rookie class, had outstanding football character. All of the guys that were in that class not only had great talent, but you could tell that they loved the game and they loved all the other stuff that you have to do to prepare to play well. And so when you think about Cleveland Farrell and Josh Jacobs and Crosby and Hunter Renfro and, even Abel before he was hurt, all of those guys are built the right way. And as the Raiders are trying to build it to be a perennial contender, you have to have guys like that can serve as the core and the nucleus. So right now, I feel really good about where the Raiders are headed. And if they get into the playoffs, to give those guys a little playoff experience as they continue to rebuild, I think it'll only make them that much better down the road.
Bucky, it sets the play of Derek Carr and the two tight end sets, what they do with the fullback. You mentioned Jacobs and Gruden's philosophy as he's back in the league now for the second year as a play caller, and how that chemistry is working with Carr.
I think what you see from the Raiders, it's funny because Gruden has a reputation for being a guy that is an offensive wizard and he wants to throw the ball all over the yard. But really, what he really wants to do is to control the game with the offense. That means run the ball, be physical in the running game, and then really have a ball control passing attack. When Derek Carr is at his best, the ball doesn't really fly farther than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. The ball is out, it's in the hand of playmakers. And then they're relying on the playmakers to break a tackle or to get first downs and extend drives. And so I think it does work. I think when Derek Carr plays freely, is able to get the ball out of his hands when he sees his first and second read, man, the offense is beautiful. I think it's still getting a little more out of Derek, getting him to take his game up a notch, because ultimately the Raiders would like to see that offense like it looked when he had Rich Gannon. When Rich Gannon was playing at his best, Derek Carr still has a little more to do to get to that level.
If it was that Gannon offense and Derek took his game up to the next level, is that good enough to compete in the next 10 years, even with the new stadium, with the likes of Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, obviously, like, look, we saw what it looked like when Rich Gannon was there. We saw the success that they had and what they were able to do. I think the big thing was you want to be able to dominate the game, control the game, let the offense pay the way, get good contributions from your defense, and then find a way to win. The Raiders have the pieces in place to do it, and we're seeing them begin to have success.
Bucky Brooks is our guest. On the defensive side, Paul Gunther and his scheme, they've been devastated with injuries. Vontaze Burfict gone. Early in the year, Jonathan Abram gone after one game. And it's been next man up. Do you like the fundamentals of the Gunther scheme going forward? And how much help do they need in free agency in the draft? Should they concentrate on defense next year?
I still think they need to upgrade the defense. I know they're still not playing the way that they want to play. Ideally, you want to have a top 10 defense, a defense that creates disruption, a defense that creates turnovers, takeaways, and they put the opponent behind the chains consistently. They haven't been able to do that. They're playing better. I like the effort. I like the way they run to the ball. I like those things, but they still have a ways to go to be a dominant defense. Ultimately, you want to continue to add pass rushers. You want speed and playmaking ability at the second level, the linebacker spot. You still want to continue to find guys in the secondary that can make plays. They get those things, then I think you begin to see a top 10 defense, a defense that can have their way.
Wrapping it up with Bucky Brooks. Bucky, the upside for Las Vegas and the stadium and the revenue in your mind and having their own stadium and not splitting it in years to come, what do you think about that in general and how the Raider Nation can benefit from that?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to be a huge financial windfall. I mean, I think you can see Raiders games are going to be destination games because there's so much that obviously that you can do in the city of Vegas. It'll be sad a little bit for the people in Oakland that have kind of seen this team get to the point where it looks like they're about to pop. But in terms of Raider Nation, look, man, how can you beat playing in Vegas? It's easy to fly there. You can get there from L.A., from Oakland. I think you can create an even broader Raider Nation by being in Vegas. So, no, this is going to be an outstanding thing. And the fact that they're going in when they're on the verge of being good, I think Las Vegas is really going to enjoy the Raiders' presence in that stadium.
Bucky, last one. I really respect you as an analyst, especially around the draft, with the depth that you have with these college players, and the Raiders still have two first-round picks from the Khalil Mack deal, the second pick there. Is this a great first round, in your opinion? Because we're hearing about the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. Where's the rest of the value there in the first round?
Yeah, man, this is a draft that if you're looking for what I call those fantasy football point scorers, you can find them. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, they're playmakers galore in this draft class. And when you have multiple first-round picks, you certainly can kind of swim in those waters. But you also can look and see, look, there are a handful of pass rushers that can get it done. There's some guys with some playmaking ability in the back end. So the Raiders have to just kind of weigh, how do we want to expand our draft capital early? Do we want to get a position where it's plentiful, like a wide receiver, or do we want to invest in a corner, maybe a pass rusher, then come back in the second and third round and find one of those value bargain basement playmakers that can kind of upgrade that offense?
Bucky, have a great new year. Appreciate your work and joining us. Thank you.
Hey, man, thanks so much for having me.
Continue to check out Bucky as he's ascending into the NFL media sphere. He's really good at what he does, and I wanted to make sure we could get him on this week. So, everybody, here we go. Let's hope that the Raiders are in the opportunity to win and get to the playoffs if they get a little bit of help. It's going to be one heck of a weekend watching this, just hoping that other teams take care of business, don't roll over, and give the Raiders an opportunity to play a meaningful game in Denver. It's meaningful anyway because the Raiders are trying to get back to 500 on the season, and they're playing their rival, the Denver Broncos. Once again, have a great holiday season, happy new year, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to host the Game Plan podcast on the Raiders Broadcasting Network.
Thank you for listening to the Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.